Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. We have a fantastic program tonight. We have Hagoyin Rav Moshe Shterbuch, the Ravid of Yerushalayim of the Eidach Redis, is going to be answering a series of Shailos Atshuvos. Rav Shterbuch is the Mechaber of the Mo'adim Uzmanim, when he wrote when he was very young. In fact, I remember a humorous story. He came to America maybe 50 years ago, and Reb Shmuel Birenbaum, a Rebbe from the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, met him, and he heard about the Mayadim Azmanim. Everybody in the yeshiva world uses the Mayadim Azmanim. And when he met Rav Shternbach, he said, "Are you maybe the son of the great Rav Shternbach who wrote the Mayadim Azmanim?" So Rav Shternbach was a very humble man. The Ravid said, "It's me." And Reb Shmuel was laughing. He couldn't believe it. His fame was so great. Let me share with you an anecdote, a beautiful anecdote. They say over, he was a Talmud of Rav Schneider in London. And while he was a Talmud in the yeshiva, Rav Moshe Reichman, L'Havdol Ben Achayim, was a Talmud in the yeshiva too. And it was during the war years in London. There were frequent bombings. So he gave two Bachrim a job. Rav Moshe Shternbach, he gave the job of waking the boys up in the morning so that they would be able to go to learn. They should run to yeshiva in the morning for davening. And he gave Rav Moshe Reichman the job of going to the bakery, even though it could have been dangerous sometimes, to bring bread. And he gave them each a blessing. Rav Schneider was a tzaddik. He said, "You woke the boys up for learning. You will teach Torah to the whole world." And he told Moshe Reichman, "You brought the bread. You will feed the whole world. You will feed the B'nai Torah of the world." And legend has it that they told this vart over to Moshe Reichman, they recounted to him this story, and he thought for a few minutes, and this was when he was one of the greatest landlords, one of the biggest gevurim in the world, and he closed his eyes and he said, "I wish I had been given the job to wake the boys up in the morning." Such was the fame of the Mayadim Azmanim and Rav Shternbach that he envied him for it. He was Rav in South Africa, so it was truly a great honor to have this, the Ravid of Yerushalayim. Now, before that, let me just say over a vart. I like to start it with a vart. This week is Parshas Balak. And you know, everybody heard of the holy Abderav. And the Abderav wrote a sefer called the Oyev Yisrael. He was one of the three great Hasidish Rebbes in Poland at his time. Him and the Chayz and the Kashin Samagid. And when he wrote a sefer Oyev Yisrael, a non-Hasidish person came and he asked him, he said, "Why did you call it Oyev Yisrael?" He said, "Because in every parsha, I find the Havas HaTorah in that parsha." So this person looked at him and he said, "Really?" It was Parsha's Balak. He said, "Where is the Havas HaTorah in this week's parsha?" He said, Abderav looked at him. And he said, "What do you mean? Balak is Isis, v'ahavta l'reyecha kamecha." So this person looked at the Abderav and he started laughing. He said, "But it's not medugdik. It's not medugdik." But Abderav smiled and he said, "When it comes to loving, when it comes to Havas Yisrael, negminish medugdik zayin. We're not supposed to be so punctuous, so careful." Seeing in the news these terrible stories about suicides, young kids who are committing suicides. And we know that our community, you know, is very judgmental. When people don't look exactly like us, we get upset. So I thought, you know, let me say a little thought about that. This week is the Parsha of Bilam. He is the great curser. And what does the Pasuk say? How does he call a curse? Kavai. My ekoiv le kavakel. A strange word, kava, it means the curse. What's the origin of it? Different mefarshim say different pshatim. I want to share with you one beautiful thought. It says by Yaakov Avina, Nokfa Scharcha Laivatain, he tells Lavan, specify. Lavan was wishy washy, one time this, one Akudim, Nakudim, Bruim, he kept changing his mind. Yaakov sat him down and he said, Nokfa Scharcha, I label it. Give me an exact box. I don't want any more wishy washes. Show me exactly what you're going to pay me. So I saw a Pirush that says, the concept of curse is when we really specify, we label something. And you know why that is? Because labels don't fit on people. Let me tell you an amazing story. And you'll be surprised you even know this story. There was a Beis Yaakov girl. And she wasn't any Beis Yaakov girl. She was like the star of Beis Yaakov. And you know what happened? She got kidnapped. And she had to become the wife of really an evil tyrant, not a co-religionist, of a different religion. And she cried to the Gadol Hador, and she said, why did this happen to me? Me, I was the best. Why do I have this bondage to a guy, a puritz, some evil king? You know who this woman was? Esther Hamalka. And she came to Mordechai, and she said, Chazal says, she said, why did this happen to me? Why is this my mission? And what does Mordechai respond? Mi yodea im ka'es mo'es kazois higata l'malchus. Who knows? Maybe this was your mission. This was your purpose. Who knows why Hashem sent you here? Do you know there's a Torah here in this week's parsha? We have everybody here. So I'm going to go a little bit, something I've never done before, and I'm going to say over Torah from Reb Nosson of Breslov. He says, in this week's parsha we have Matoivu Oyhalecha Yaakov, and Rashi says, how beautiful are the doors of Klal Yisrael. Each door and each window does not look into the opposite window. It's not facing another entrance, but they're off kilter. So Reb Nosson of Breslov said, everybody has their own door to spirituality, Tashem. Everybody has their own window. He says, if your window is opposite the other, because you dress this way, I dress this way. Because you go to this yeshiva, I go to this yeshiva. You go to that seminary, I went to that seminary. He said, that's not good. Matayvoy halacha Yaakov, each one had its own entrance. So you know why kavai, when you specify something, that's a curse? To put a label on this child, on this boy, on this little girl, you have to go to Brisk, you have to go to the seminary, I have to have this job, I have to be this amount of years, that's the biggest curse that you could do, because we're all different. And when we label somebody, we wrap them in steel, in chains, and people start to break out, and they get depressed, and they can come bleed them to the worst places. Do you know that the days of Sfira are the days of counting from paganism, from Yetzias Mitzrayim, to Kabbalah Satira, to personal enlightenment. And what does it say? Usfartam lachem, the Gemara Menachah says, she'e sfira l'kol echad ve'echad. Everybody has to count for themselves. It's not like that by Yovel, Bezdin counts for everybody, but by Sfira Sa'iber, you have to count for yourself. So much so that the Mishnah Berurah paskins that one person can't count for another person. If you forgot the bracha, one person can't be mitzi. It's like a paskin, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah names on. And you know why that is? Because everybody has their own road from Yetzias Mitzrayim, their personal Mitzrayim, to their Kabbalah Satira. Yours is not like mine. Mine is not like yours. If we try to march in somebody else's steps, I want my child to be exactly like yours. I want her to be exactly like all the others in the class. It may work, and to some people, it's a type of suicide. Ma kavai lekavai kale. Don't a label, a box, a rigid identity of what you have to be like. That is a type of a curse. From the Maggid of Mizrich, the great Maggid, he said a beautiful taich, and this taich, interestingly, is not brought in any svarim. There was a Jew by the name of Solomon Maimon. He sadly became irreligious, but he wrote an autobiography, and in it he writes a few tirus that he heard from the Maggid, and this is one of them. We don't have it from any other source, but he says the Maggid said like this: "Vayihi kiminagein haminagein, v'tishra alav ruach Hashem." Right? When the player, when the harpist played their harp, v'tishra alav ruach Hashem. The Maggid had a different shot. He said, everybody has their own tune. Everybody has a certain type of a song, a beat, a life anshung that appeals to them. There's a certain song that you have that's a tenua of your neshama. But so sadly, we often can't walk to our own tune. So the Maggid said, Vayihi kiminagein haminagein. When the player is in sync with his own tune, then it's Vatishra Allah Baruch Hashem. We have to each find our own song. Sid is going to be on the phone in a few minutes. And he's going to go through the questions. I sent him the questions in writing. And he's going to quickly go through the questions and start his answer. But since most of my listenership is maybe not, in the sugya so much, I figured I would give a brief introduction, explain each question in advance, so that when he afterwards sends it over cryptically and quickly, everybody will understand what he's referring to. So we have with us on the phone from Yerushalayim, the Rosh Kibahag, the Ravid Shlita, Shalom Ubracha to the Ravid. So here is the first question. We spoke over the last number of weeks about a problem that's spreading across the world, certainly the Western Hemisphere, and it's called the Zika virus. And the Zika virus causes that children of mothers who are pregnant, who carry the Zika virus, are often carry diseases that are fatal. They have microcephaly, their heads are smaller, they basically live a very challenged, ill life, and ultimately they die at a young stage. And the question is, could a woman who's pregnant with the Zika virus have an abortion? Right? Can we be simech on the tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer who's matir? And we had with us a big paisik from America, Goyen Reb David Code, who was simech many off. He said, if your Rav allows you to, you can. Or do we have to be machmir, like the das of the great paisik of America, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Gadol Hador, that was not matir at all? And additionally, I'd like to add on to this two other caveats. Often, the doctors don't know if the mother has the virus, often the doctors don't know whether the virus has affected the child until later on in the pregnancy when they do x-rays, ultrasounds, MRIs, and they can see the damage to the child. So the question is, we all know that before 40 days, it's much easier to do an abortion. The Shita of the Ramban and Teres Adam and many other Paiskim, the Achiezer, is up to 40 days. It's Maya Ba'alma. It has no Tzura, both halachically and medically it's been established. So do we do it before 40 days, or do we wait for after 40 days, at which point we're sure that the child has damage, but at which point it's much more problematic? So if the mother is a Zika virus carrying, should we do it besuffic in the first 40 days, we're not sure it affected the child, or wait till after the 40 days when we know, but if we know at that point it's problematic halachically? Okay, here's another question. We know that there's in style now, there are many types of tzedakis. We get the pamphlets, shiny pamphlets, with pictures of all kinds of gedolim that are giving to give tzedakah, and they come with all kinds of promises. An 800 number with somebody putting tzedakah, you're going to get shidduchim, health. And we hear sad stories about girls who've given, thousands of dollars, their entire income. This is something new we've never seen by Klal Yisrael. Chai Ruttel is this new rage to give Chai Ruttel. It's a new thing, not in the Rishayim, not in the Achrayim, not in Sifras, Sifri, Taisef, the Gemara. What is the Goyin hold on this? Should we support these Meisters? Should we not support these Meisters? What should we be doing? Is it considered Geneva? What should our attitude toward these? Okay, the next question is, there is a new type of a grumma, some type of a mechanism, to raise or lower flames on Yom Tov. Now, remember that on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to ignite a flame, ex nihilo, and alternatively, you're not allowed to close a flame. But grumma on Yom Tov is mutter. So there is a Rav in America who invented some type of a technology that you can attach to your stove, that when you lower or raise the flame, when you ignite or close the flame, it doesn't happen immediately, but it happens on a delay, 30 seconds later, a minute later. Now, the difference between something that's called your action and a grumma, is it instantaneous? Or is it something that happens at a later point in time? For example, let's say you have somebody removes from a lake, a dam, piece of the dam, and the water rushes and downstream it kills somebody, that's a grumma because it wasn't immediate. Well, are you or aren't you allowed to remove the that section of the waterfall I'm sorry, are you, aren't you, allowed to use this mechanism which causes the oven to ignite or to close at a later time? Is that called grum or not? New technology, Shaila. Now, many of us have children in Shidduchim. So what do you do when you have the following story? Somebody brings to you a great idea. Just, it's a fabulous name. You check it out. It's really for your kid. Unfortunately, the Shidduchim who brought it to you is a little bit of a schlamazel. Maybe you don't like the person. Maybe the other person doesn't like the person. Maybe their interpersonal skills aren't so good. So the question now arises is, well, do I have to use this Shadchan? Or can I tell the Shadchan, look, thank you very much for the name, and then move on and use somebody who is competent? So the question is, A, are you allowed to do that? And B, there is a minig. It's more than a minig. It's halacha. It's already because it's been accepted by Klal Yisrael to pay a Shadchan. If you reject the first Shadchan and move on to a second, does somebody have to pay the first Shadchan for not really doing much but just bringing you the Shidduch? Now, many people who go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky for a bracha or an Eitzah, he tells them, if he sees they're wearing a watch, he tells them, you know, wearing a watch is Aser Al Slay Selbosh. It's an Issa Deraisa. Right, Liel Kogever Samasisha, a man is not aware of how to wear women's clothing, not responding, notwithstanding what's going on in the world today. So he says, take off your watch. He said he was Makabal from the Chazenish, it's a gender of Simlasisha. So the question is, what is the das of the Gayan? Does he have to take off his watch? Not in front of Rav Chaim, of course, but is that also Leisolbush, or is it not Leisolbush? We've had on the show, the next question is, we've had on the show a debate, which we will have more fully fleshed out because there has been a big response to it, about Murex trunculus. And the Murex trunculus is the new trellis that was discovered by Rav Herzog. And there's a fascinating story to it. Rav Herzog worked on trellis a good part of his life. And when he finally found what he believed to be the real trellis, which was these snails, which are off the sea, off of Haifa, Zvola L'Chayf Yamim, which really he brings 20 amazing rayas that these are the real trellis. And in the water, there are like tens of thousands of them, or maybe millions of them. Obviously, they used to catch them and shell them over there. He found the trellis, but when he found this murex, but when he used the dye, it became purple rather than blue. And he was extremely upset because he had so many rayas that this was the real trellis. But trellis is blue, it's not purple. First he tries to say maybe trellis really means argamon, maybe this person, he rejects it, and he finishes his question, he says, I thought I found it, but obviously I was wrong. And he never discovered it in his lifetime. Well, a number of years after Rav Herzog's Ptira, they were doing experiments with this type of trellis in the University of Tel Aviv. And it seems that this murex trunculus has some type of a very foul smell. So, you know, Israelis could be a little bit levitic, could be a little bit lively. And while they're expanding from the bottom floor, they came up and they started screaming, if you want to do your experiments, take them outside. Please don't smell up our entire building. So they went ahead and they took this, they took all their murex trunculus and they continued their experiments, and then amazing thing happened. If they opened the shell and they poured out the chemical in sunlight, the color changed from purple to blue, a sky blue, right? Just like Kala Ilan, Toyer Hashamayim, right? Like the clarity of the sky, the color of the sky. So posthumously, post his death, Rav Herzog was actually correct, but he never knew it. So, and Herzog brings 20 rayas. So we're going to ask the Gayan, since there are so many rayas that this is the correct trellis, why don't people wear this trellis, safik darayas lachumra? Why isn't he an advocate of it? And by the way, we will be doing a full show on it. Okay, here's a very sensitive and a very current question. You know, women today, notwithstanding women of the wall or in open orthodoxy, they make their own, they read from the Torah by themselves, etc. But, in the modern Orthodox, Haredi, Hasidish world, etc., women don't go to the men's side and they don't speak up in shul. Well, what happens if you have a woman and she wants to say Kaddish for appearance? So in a mulligat site, in the olden times, you do have cases brought down by Shilas Achuvis, brought into Paiskim, that an Isha would say Kaddish in the ladies' shul, and the women would answer and listen to her and answer her. And the men would also answer Amen Yehesh Miraba to this woman who was saying Kaddish for her deceased father, mother, could be a sibling. Why not? It's a beautiful thing. And most certainly if she didn't have brothers who were saying Kaddish. So the question is, can we enact that today as well? Let's hear what the opinion of the Gaon is. Okay, now we're going to go to another very contemporary question. Do you know, DNA keeps on getting more and more exact. There are, on the internet, you can go to DNA by Wikipedia, and it says if it's collected appropriately, it could be up to the chances of it being wrong. Some of the estimates are 1 in 10 billion, 1 in 30 billion, right? So could a Beis Din be simech on it for aguna issues? Could a Beis Din be simech on it? A woman says, a father comes to Beis Din, and he says, look, I did the DNA of my son. It's not mine. 1 in 10 billion that the DNA is wrong, that's 1 in 10 billion is just an astronomical, beyond fathomable number. I don't want to pay. He's not my son. So I don't want him to be Irish. Or he can marry a sister. They're not brothers and sisters. Well, I guess maybe they would be half-sister, half-brother, or half-sister through the wife. But Lagabia Rice, it's not related to my relatives, right? So can you be Simach on DNA? Many contemporary Paiskim, the Tzitzaliyaz, and many others said, no, we do not use DNA. But that was a while ago. DNA keeps getting better and better and better. That's question A. And question part A. And part B is, if it's really so good, what would be the halacha? If two witnesses come and they say, we saw Yossel in Paris yesterday, and there's a body in front of us that's not identifiable, and there's a scientist there, two from a scientist, they take DNA from this body, and they say, this is his body. And the Edom are saying, no, he's in Paris. Well, who do we believe, the DNA or the Edom? Do we say that the DNA rises to the level of Boharug Baraglov? The Gemara talks about a case where two Edom say somebody died, and then the guy walks into town, and we say, look, I don't care what the Edom say, the guy's right in front of us. Does DNA rise to that level? Interesting answer you get. Okay, this is a very sad question we would like to ask him, but it's a very current topic. You know, I keep getting Tzvi Glock from Amudim's emails about all these children who commit suicide, and he says many of them have been molested, because sadly, we haven't done such a good job about prosecuting molesters, and I think it's a remnant. We were so many years under authorities that would, you know, from the government, they would legislate anti-Semitic charges against Jews, right? We know the blood libel. So it's in our blood. Probably the wrong euphemism. But it's in our nature not to trust the authorities after 2,000 years of being on the run. But now we're in a country that does treat us equally. I think most of us would agree for the most part, right? But that remnant of can't go to the authorities has occurred even when there are people who threaten the lives of our children. There are people who would not go to the authorities for a murderer even. Rav David Cohn, the great Paisuk Rav David Cohn, we asked him recently about somebody who was an egregious Metzayer Hatzibur. He said, look, I cannot publicly announce to go to authorities. He says, because you have all kinds of crazies who are roideth me and my wife, no matter, neged halacha. He says, but you have these crazies. And so here's the question. So many of these kids, sadly, many of them commit suicide, many of them end up drugs, many of them are hurting themselves. And the question is, what can the Ravid of Yerushalayim, the great Goyen, say to these children to tell them, no, your neshama is pure. A victim is not guilty. So sadly, so many of these children believe that they've become damaged, damaged to Hashem, damaged to society, that by being the victim, somehow they were in a way guilty, just as the perpetrator would be. We'd like him to say some divrei chizuk to these children. And you know what? You're hearing it from somebody who's the oldest Pesach in America, perhaps in the world, the most respected, you could really say in him, he's Reish Kol B'nei HaGaila, and his words are Divrei Elokim Chaim. So if he says, you're in the right and you're clear, it's a psak and you have to accept that. Let's hear what he has to say. And let's leave it with this one. You know, sadly, in the last period, we've heard so many scandals, or I could think of 3, 4, or 5 scandals about Rabbanim. You know, very religious, upright people, parent, they seemingly so, B'nai Torah, who've done bad things in Yana Ishus, and, you know, in matters that have to do, you know, in intimate matters, or in, you know, honesty, things to do with money, or, you know, maybe even that had deis that are not so good. So what would be the halacha? Can you learn this svarim afterwards? Do you say that their Torah remains holy? Or do you say it's only you can only learn from somebody who's a Malach Hashem Tzvakos? What should a Rav or a Madrich, right, tell the children or the Talmidim of that particular person? And additionally, what type of a sin rises to the level that it has to be handled and say, look, you have to be defrocked? Right? What can you give us some guidelines as to how to look at a person like that? What is the type of event that should trigger our outrage? Right? And can we continue learning the Torah?
That's the Rav Shlita.
Baruch Hashem, yo. What's happening? What's the change to good deniers?
The good deniers is Malan Torah in America.
When they play Torah in America, they don't have to be in that school. The lead from that school is in that school.
Yeah.
All the Ibrahim Leben, Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Tell me, we stayed there. Chavivali, but have all the Tahi Toys. So the Medes Omach is Bochum Chavivali told us in that school. Alles Tag macht man eine Brache. Bruch hat so ein Schiff, ein Kiel, mit dem Heulen. Oisig. Lassig mit dem Vitae. Also das ist ein Sefer, Lassig hat nicht immer gelernt. Verschiedene Pulis darf man so machen, und damit hat es mir gelernt. Jesu wird schon leichter, dass man verschiedene Pulis darf man so machen. Also sich halten, der Tere, die Jesu in der Zuhl. Und am Tutsing Dem ist es so, wie man wohnt in der Zuhl.
Ja. The Yidin from America is on in Makabel.
What?
The Yidin from America is on in Makabel, was he sagt.
No, alibi. You're saying my shriach.
Yeah, Bezer Hashem. Is maybe you had a par shaylus for the Rav?
Chol yin de shaylus. Yes, the shaylus. Let me two kubin. I'm in English, in Yiddish, in Hebrew.
No, in English. We should speak in English. Would be easy.
Let's speak in English, Shane.
Yeah, okay.
The first question of yours is if the child might have a virus or it might have another illness which would develop afterwards, which they would suffer from it. Is a Rav, a teacher of the patient, even the fetus is 5 months old, you're allowed to make a hapala. As a Moshe Feinstein Paschkins, no, never. And we Paschkin, till 40 days we allow, after 40 days we don't allow. Now you ask the question, what's going to be if it's a doubt? The doctor doesn't know. It's very difficult to say. We would ask the doctor, first of all, we take over 2 doctors to make sure. We never take 1 doctor for such an important case. And we would ask, what would you say, most cases will come to the child will suffer, we would probably go after the home. If not, I wouldn't be matter yet.
So up to 40 days you would be matter if it was arrive, and after 40 days
we take back my baptism from the little tefillah. Change me to the woman is Mishab and Miyad.
Right. Okay. And after 40 days, you're machmir, even if you're 100% sure that the child will be extremely ill and probably die in a few years, but we're machmir like Rav Moshe after 40 days.
There's, of course, another point which maybe is not in America here. Even you have such a child, the government take it away and either private people or institutions look after him, so you've got no rights to kill him. You don't want him, but others do. And that makes it still more of a statement. I don't know, of course, about America. Here in it's all like that. You know, there are institutions, first of all, for these children when they're born, if their parents don't want them. And even sometimes parents want to have a mitzvah, want to do a great thing, and they take them over. So why should we be allowed to kill them?
Right.
Now let's go to the second question which you ask. That stuck institutions promise all sorts of placid, panosa, gizud, shiduchim, and so forth, which we never saw before. Naturally, it is not right to promise. They've got no rights to promise. They can only be given a brocha. That the Shem Yisroel should help. And Tomim Tim Hashem Elkecha, the Shem Yisroel will help. But there's no rights for you to promise because you'll be found possibly wrong. And then they would talk against the Torah, against the Rabbanim, and against the Tzaddikim. Now you come. Third child, yes?
Yes, yeah.
You asked a question, if one is allowed to rely on the heter of Groma, which means that sometimes it comes afterwards. And therefore they call it Groma. But today, with the technical developments, Groma generally wasn't, it didn't have the same, it was not the same as you did direct, and therefore it was allowed. It's not like, but if through Groma, it's so strong like a Malacha itself, because the Madanim, those who have today developed such, we are not today not allow Groma when it's accepted, when it's accepted as a way. With Groma, we could do everything, all Malachas. We can have Bashis working Shabbos, the whole of the Shabbos, Akira's Shabbos would be. The Moshe Feinstein wanted to be very strong to ask it all over. We don't matter, Groma. First of all, we say, as I told you, since according to the recent development, Baruch Hashem, we're able through Groma to do the same thing in the Baruch itself. You can't tell. So therefore, we're not matter. And besides, of course, the big takola, which people would think you're allowed to do Melech and Shabbos. So we don't allow Groma, that's quite clear. And even Rav is a matter of Groma, the Rabbanim go against him. He's got no rights to do it. Now comes the next question. A Shatchen, which had gave a Shidduch and you throw him out, take a second Shatchen in his place. According to what we understand, the one who started the Shidduch gets a third, and the one who finishes gets two-thirds. If he has still doubts if it will be finished, and he takes a second person to be sure, he's allowed. This person takes a third, and this person takes two-thirds. But if it's a finished business, and just he doesn't want to pay him, take somebody else to it, he's not allowed. He can't do it. Now, the number...
I would like to ask. Yeah. I would just like to ask one question: if somebody just mentions a name, but they don't do anything, is that also rise to the level of shatzin?
They call if we started one shatzin, we take and say he doesn't do anything, he doesn't deserve anything. He has worked. We're talking a case. He thinks this person is more suitable of finishing it. Then he's got the rights to do it, and people do it. That's all talking about, but if it was more or less finished, he admits, He didn't want to give this person so much money, so he found somebody else to finish it, and this person takes two-thirds. Now we come to the next case. Rabbi Kanievsky, the Lord allowed people to wear watches in their hands. That's where we hold that a person who holds watches in hand doesn't make it to look nice. He does it because it's more easy, more convenient. If you do it because of convenience, there's no issue. And therefore, he holds it, but he wants to look nice. And that's, of course, the question. We don't agree with him in that point. Now becomes the next question.
But if somebody has a fancy watch, could somebody wear a fancy watch?
Nobody wears like a watch to look beautiful. Perhaps women, maybe, yes, I don't know. Men don't, they usually put the watch on the... On the hand, they can quickly get an answer to when what the time is. But there's the reason is not because he wants to look nice. That's why he's got their hands washed and doesn't put it there. They used to put it in the pocket. Now we come to the next thing. You ask about Trelis. Murex, Tranquil Lucas. And you ask why Rav Yisrael are not choshish. Trelis needs a masoret. The Rabbi of Razin found Trelis, and he was convinced that's Trelis. After his Rabbi Herzog came, I gave another meaning. I said, well, Rabbi, it's not the Trelis which is Trelis, but another Trelis. Afterwards, today, they come with another meaning, and they say, that's Trelis. We say that you must have a masoret, whether it was his trailers, besides what we hold the Yaakovish said, that coach man, there's a hest upon him in the world. The Bernie said we can't understand him in our generation more than ever, what's going on. And that's why when we had, it would be some English was standing and we kept it even later, you used to see a Shabbat Baruch open. So the trailers was blue like the sky. Which was the Ramesses, the Shabbat Baruch is here. But when he says it went today, unfortunately, the Shabbat Baruch is leading with us. His Rotsi is be Hester, but a Hester. There'll be no trailers. Only when he comes, Mamish Mashiach, it came before Mashiach, we need him to him. Of course, we don't do with Lalocha. But besides, since we are not convinced, there are certain signs he comes once in 70 years that he's supposed to go. Both in the hill and in the water, both. Not so big as trailers, therefore we don't wear it. It could be if a person himself, Moshev, without having a car, is a sort of a Moshev. Well, if Mama said, if the real Shastar is a new Moshev, the person makes himself a new Chumrah, which has got no blood. No place whatsoever could be, even though they're chashing them. And then they told the Gedolei Yisrael, which we know in our soil, and the Chutzah didn't accept it. They don't wear trainers at all.
Why do we say Safik Daraisa L'chumra and wear it all to
Safik? It's no Safik Daraisa. We say it's no Safik at all. Safik has to have the hands and feet. If you haven't got the hands and feet, which you need. The Chazanish used to say, when they told him about trainers, he knew a man in his shtot who used to wear glasses without glass. So they asked him, would you wear glasses without glasses? What's shatters? What can do damage? Here they say, you need trailers. You can't do damage. Why shouldn't we do it? So he reminds him of the year that his shtot who used to wear eyeglasses without glass. They asked him, what's that? What, it doesn't do damage. It doesn't do damage, too. But you got no reason for us to be machmer. Now we go further. Those who have to go their own way, because the Bessem of Hasidim and others, but we don't, we're not Machma. Now we come to the next question of yours. If a woman say Kaddish for a mother when she's in Yad Zohar, Kaddish must be heard by 10 Kaddish without 10 they get the devil to say, a woman saying it is not the best thing. She allowed it, there was once. because a woman upstairs used to say loud, they didn't see her, didn't know even who it was. She was a Yesema. There are certain cases, certain places, I would say, they allowed it. Today, it's not allowed. We don't want it. They should hire somebody to say Pirim, or say Lom Mishnayish, and that's the same thing as they're saying Kaddish.
What happens if she's the only child and there are no sons and she really wants to say? Could she do it like they used to do Amol? Like they used to do in olden times?
We won't allow it today because we have made it tonight a reform, making changes in what we have accepted. We are not prepared today to accept changes. Since it's all over, didn't allow women to say from upstairs or wherever it is, so we don't let them today as well. That's how we are knowing today, but they don't change. But if you write here that women only should hear her call, it's certainly not just prohibited as well. Now we come to the next question, DNA. The truth is, you're right. It should, Bezin should rely on it. And I do. I think it's right that you rely on it, but the Rabbanim don't rely on it. I don't know why. I can't answer that question. Because in my opinion, you can rely on it if but if there are witnesses who say the opposite, then we don't rely on it. That's because, of course, we don't have a match, and you have to say that to her. It is well told that don't ask after witnesses. Finished. One in 10 million are upset. There are two witnesses who are still alive. If you ask, I would no longer be mattered. Two former Yidden witnesses against this evidence, which is you say might be one in a million. I'm not sure your figures are the true figures. It must be much less. But still, let's take my moment. It's true. The one in millions. Even
billions,
then.
In billions.
I'm not sure. I can't tell you this. I'm not sure. But there's no difference if it's a million or a million. There's one. The question, once Adam are here, we've got no. It's not. It's still not true. We are finished. Although our Seichel says no, these two witnesses are liars. But the Rambam writes that success across all the Shabbos Baruch wanted it. Two witnesses, Shemri Teir and Mitzvahs, the Cheskas, reliable people. You can't be only by saying Imonu Yishim, but there's Rama. Otherwise, you must accept him, and we accept him. Now becomes your next question.
Can I ask the Rav, let's say it would be fingerprints. They would have the fingerprints of the person that say this is 100% the person, and two Adim come and they say it's not the person. Do you believe
what?
If you have fingerprints, if you would have fingerprints...
I can't hear.
Okay, so let's continue.
Yeah.
If you would have the fingerprints of a person, of a mace, and the fingerprints, they say, is 100% the person, and two Adim come and they say, we saw the person yesterday. Would you believe the fingerprints, or would you believe the Adim?
If there are two witnesses which say they saw the person yesterday, we accept them that yesterday he was seen. Unless you can prove these witnesses weren't there. Now we come to the next question about a case where a child is being molested. So you ask, what should we do with him? Well, of course, we explain that he's not responsible. Oynes Rachmona Patre, and he should have bitachon in Hashem Yisboch will look after him. If he did it, he was attacked, and unfortunately, that causes him that hard life later. We do in our part what we can to. Comfort him that as a Jew, he believes in Hashem Yisboch and HaMelech Rachmim, and he shouldn't worry. Now, the last question I see you ask about somebody, scandals, Rabbonim, and the Kabbalah, either in Yoni Ishes or Mani, or Psak Neged Torah, what should we do? We, of course, we say such a rov, we can't accept him. He has no siyata d'shmaya. The hope was to rely on us, as we say every day in the davening, Avoseinu Batzchu Becho, Batlamdim Chukachayim. We rely on Hashem Yisboch, as you have we say, in our Rav, Dei Melamalach Hashem Yisboch, it's like it's there in Mepil, and therefore, the Rav, I say to the Talmidim, that you should not have connections with him, because he is Mechal Hashem. And that's what you ask, which Aveir should be Mephasim, and Aveir which is Echilel Hashem. And therefore, we will tell the public, they should be careful. This man is a man which does not represent religious Jews. And it should be enough.
Can you learn Svarim that he printed in the past?
If we did it in the past, it's difficult to say. As the Gemara says, Yelech Lamochim Shem Makirim Oisei, Yilvach Shorim, Satif Shorim. It's difficult to say, to teach you how he did such a thing, he must show it strongly, he must go to the extremes. Generally, we're not so happy with extremists. But this man must be an extremist, but it's extremists who will understand that he is really Ashkarota. His tshuva is different than everybody's tshuva. Since he was machshelus harabim, he must show himself now very, very strong till we withdraw what we think of him.
Can I ask the Rav to go back? In America, in the last number of months, there have been numerous in America, in the last number of months, there have been many suicides of children who were molested. Could the Rav
what
give
suicide?
The children who were molested, there have been numerous, many suicides, over 50 suicides this year of children.
Who commit suicide? The children?
The children, and because they feel that the neshama was nifkat.
Well, that's a problem. What's the problem? What should we do? Try our best.
Could the Rav give some chizuk to these children? Just tell them that the neshamas are a nifkam. They're still kedaishim. Could you talk to these children for 2 minutes?
The children should know. They should keep themselves strong with their Shavuot board. They've got their father in heaven. With their father in heaven helps them, and he will help them. They've got no rights to give up hope. The worst thing which a person can do is to give up hope. You must always be besimcha and betochen, and Shabbos Baruch will help, and that's the way life may be happy. First in the whole time, I would say better. Forget the past and think of the future. If you think of the future, it'll be good. If you think of the past, everybody true is the same thing. He should not have, from the Rambam it seems as well, he should not think the whole time of his past. First he should think of his future. When he's finished with his future, Baruch Hashem, then he starts going back to his past to be misaken what he can.
No. Thank you very much, and we wish the Rav Brius and Arichas Yamim, and he should continue to be Mashpia Torah to all of Klal Yisrael.
Baruch Hashem.
So I thought it would be appropriate, and they all talk about, the Geula, Gullus and Churban, destruction and exile. And I'd like to give you a little bit of a different view on Gullus. In this program, we always try to do a little bit new. So let me give you maybe a more of a contemporary view. What is Gullus? Gullus, when you think of it, are all the bad things in life, but mostly they're the blackness, they're the voids, the things we wanted to get, but we didn't. We're hurt. Gullus is we wanted to be in a certain land, or a house, or it could be a job, or it could be a shidduch. It could be a child, it could be an illness, all where our expectations exceed what we really have. Those are the darkest places in our hearts,
and that is a metaphor for Gullus. And what is Geula? Well, redemption is really with what we do have, because that we control. We're here, we have it. That is what we have. That is the opposite of void, what we clutch in our hands. So when you think of it, all the mitzvahs in the Torah are really about what we control. A mitzvah is all about doing a deed now. And it's something that if you can't do it, you're not mechuyev in it. You're an oinus, oinus rachmana patrei. But if you can do it, you can help. You can do the mitzvah. You can eat what you're supposed to. Those are the things we control. So all of the Torah is really about now, about the things we do control, not about the things that we don't. Now, mitzvahs, which are about what we do control, and the things that we have, also require kavana. The Mishnah Berurah in Bay says, we paskin mitzvahs srichas kavana and mitzvahs daraisa. They require presence. Because all we have is the now, is where we are. We don't control the darkness where we don't have. We control what is in our grasp. Mitzvahs, which are all about what we can do, require kavana. A mitzvah without kavana means I am not present at the mitzvah. I am not present here. You know, it's the only time we really talk about the past at length is on Tisha B'Av when we talk about the kinnis. Because the past is what we don't have, and that's not the now, that's the void. That's really gullus. That's really sadness. Now, here's something interesting about all mitzvahs. When you think about in life, what are the most precious things in life? Those amazing, wonderful moments. Your wedding day, birthday party, that special event. Or the special things in life, the more mundane, the quotidian, the hoi polloi. Most people would say that those special events are really the amazing moments we look forward to, the Kodak moments. We've all heard of the Kodak moments. Well, interestingly, Judaism, Yiddishkeit, has a different view. And I'll prove it to you. What's the law? What's the halacha? Every day you get up, if you're a male, you put on your talis and your tefillin. Now, what comes first? The talis. Why? So there's a rule. Tadir v'she'eno tadir, tadir kodem. The more quotidian, the more daily any mitzvah is, the more priority it has. The talis we put on 365 days a year. Tefillin we don't put on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So talis comes first. Now wouldn't the specials come first? Shouldn't those special shining moments come first? So the Torah tells us that something amazing. No. The most amazing moment is not that special moment that you're waiting for, you're looking forward to. You know what the most amazing moment is? The most amazing moment is right now. The thing that we control, that's in our hands, right now. Tadir v'she'enu tadir, tadir kodem. Mitzvah shrichas kavana. The Torah requires us to be present right at this very moment. It will not get better than this. Let me tell you a story. Everybody heard of the Radvaz. Radvaz was one of the great paiskim, one of the great intellects. He lived in, the 14th century. He wrote thousands upon, he lived in Egypt, he wrote thousands and thousands, the end of the era of the Rishonim. He wrote the Pirush on the Rambam. He's considered by many sort of a Rishon, some consider him an Achron. He was asked an amazing question. A prisoner was allowed by the authorities one day a year out of jail. So the Radvaz received a letter. He received thousands of letters from all over the world. And the letter was, which day of the year should I pick? Should I pick Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the year when we blow the shofar, with the day that we enter in the new year to come out of jail and say, this year hopefully will be better? Should it be maybe Yom Kippur, the most serious day of the year, the day when we receive atonement? Maybe it should be Sukkot. Maybe it should be the holiday we go with our family. It's a holiday of love. Should it be maybe Kabbalah Satira, the day that we receive the Aseres Hadibris, Moshe came down from the Holy Mount, the day that we receive the Torah? Should that be which day of the 365 days, or 300, depending which calendar, right? And the Radvaz writes back, you know which day you should take? Tomorrow. Take the next available day. He says, because the day that you have now, and Paskin says Lahalach, he was not a darshan, is the most precious imaginable day. Today is the best day. How many of us look at today and say, today, if I had to pick one day in my life to be let out of prison, it would be right now, just this boring, regular day? Most of us say, no, it would be so-and-so's wedding, Chanela's wedding, Yossela's bar mitzvah. Rosvat said, no, it's right now. This is the special day. Right, this is what we control, and this is what Geula is what we're all about. So there was a great debate. The Medrash brings it down, a fascinating debate, and the debate was, what is the most important pasuk in the Torah? Fascinating debate. You would think only, you know, as kids in yeshiva we had this debate. It's actually a medrash that discusses it. And here were the three opinions. One Tana says, the most important pasuk in the Torah is the one that we say every day in the one Chas V'Shalom for Gidiz Nereg Al Kiddush Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein. There is only one God. That's the most important. Hard to argue with that. And the next Mandi Yomer says, no, 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 I'll tell you what the most important one is. V'hafta l'reacha kamocha. Rabbi Akiva says, love thy neighbor as thyself. The most important purpose is to love the other person. And the other Mandi Yomer says, no, 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 I disagree with both of you. You know what the most important pasuk is? Ef sakeves ha'echa tase baboker, v'sakeves ha'sheni tase bein harbayim. Bring every morning and every night the proper sacrifice upon the altar, without remiss, tadir, forever. And the Gemara says, and he won the debate. And what does that mean? It's not that one amazing thought, there is one God. It's not love thy neighbor as thy friend. It's, you know what? It's showing up and being present every moment. So what's the lesson to that? How often in our lives do we just have the most wonderful moment in front of us? We're at that place, we could be with your wife, on a date, with your child, but we're on our phone. We're not present. We're talking to Hashem in Shul, but all we're thinking about is something else. At the time that we're supposed to be so present, that the Shulchan Aruch says, afilu nachash karach al akveh, if there's a serpent around your heel, you're supposed to ignore the serpent because you're supposed to be so present in your tefillah at that moment. So, you know, I have Pizur HaNefesh, and it's about anxiety. So what does the Geula then tell us? What do the mitzvahs tell us? Tadir v'she'enei tadir. You want to be nigal? You from this pizur hanefesh, which is a type of gullus? Now, right now. What is the best moment of your life? Tell me, right now. Who is the most important person in your life? The person you are sitting with right now.
Next week, we will have the great Ger HaGoyin, and Ger has such a history of Goyim, the great Chidushei Rim and the Sfasemes and the Alter Ger Rebbe. We will have the Ger HaGoyin, Rav Chaim Kohn, the Rosh Machon L'Choshen Mishpat. He's the Ravid of the Beis Haroi, it's Chaim. And he's also the Mechabes Sefer Hilchos Mishpat. Certainly, you could count on one hand the people in the world who know Choshen Mishpat like him. And we're going to be giving him a fascinating list of questions to answer on the and to relate to our audience. So I look forward to hearing you, to speaking to you again next week. This is David Lichtenstein for Headlines Radio.